thankful to be here. The Lord blessed me for a period of time to be a vessel to teach Sunday school. And I decided I'd throw the towel in and walk away. Well, let me tell you something. Just as surely as the Lord can open a door, He can close one too. And He'll let you sit and He'll let you think about that. And if you don't believe that, then you look at the prodigal son. He left the father's house. He left the goodness of the father's house. He went out into the world. The Bible says when he came to himself, he was in a hog pen. He was in the worst place he could be. And he said this. He said, I'm starving to death. And my father's servants have got enough bread to eat. And I'm going home if he'll let me come home. But I'm going to tell him I'm not worthy to be his son anymore. Just let me be a servant. You're not going to find anything any better in the world than what's in the father's house. He said, I was starving to death. He said, they've got bread. Now, what kind of bread does a Christian have? Jesus said, I am the bread that come down from the Father. Let me go ahead and tell you something right now. You can't feast on nothing in this old world, but the bread that you've got from the Father will satisfy you and nothing else. You can also look at Samson. Brother Kim was talking about Samson this morning. Now, Samson was a Nazarite, and a Nazarite is someone who's made a vow to God to serve Him for a period of time, for a lifetime. But the angel foretold Manoah, Samson's father, and his mother, he said, this child is going to be a Nazarite from the womb until the day of his death. But Samson laid his head in Delilah's lap. He laid his head in the lap of the world. He laid his head in the lap of his enemy. And he woke up with his eyes gone in a prison grinding for his enemy. So if you think for one minute that you want to leave home, then you listen to somebody that's done left it and tell you not to go. You stay where you're supposed to be because you're not going to find nothing in this world better than what's at the Father's house. So the Lord permit me this morning, I'd like to talk to you for just a little while about a soldier in God's army and knowing your enemies. Because from the day that you're saved, you're going to be in a warfare. You're going to be placed as a soldier in the army of God. Look, if you would, in the book of 2 Timothy. And Paul writing here to this young minister. Beginning with verse 1, he said, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now what did he say? He said, as a good soldier. You're going to be in a warfare. He said, no man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Paul said, Timothy said, you're going to endure hardness, but I want you to be a good soldier. Set your eyes and affections on the Lord. He said, endure this hardness. And listen to what he says. He said, no man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life. He said, no man that wars for God is going to entangle himself in this world, in the things of this world, because once you're entangled therein, you're not going to be a good soldier. You're not going to be a servant that God wants you to be. So if you're going to be in a warfare, you better realize you're going to have enemies. Now let me tell you something. Just as soon as you get saved, recognize your first enemy, for right here it is. This is your first birth. This is the flesh right here. Jesus told Nicodemus, you got to be born again. You got one birth, that's of the flesh, and that's this nature, the first man, by the will of man. This is not that of God, but this is of the earth. And you were born unto sin. For the psalmist David said this, in sin did my mother conceive me. David didn't say after I took my breath I was a sinner, but he said in sin. Before I had ever took my first breath, before I'd done right, before I'd done wrong, I was a sinner. I was a sinner. But to be a servant, you've got to have a second birth. This second birth has nothing to do with the earth or the things of the flesh nor the will of man, but that's of God. And that's when you become a soldier, when you become a part of God's family. Now, if you're going to be a good soldier, it's just like today in this world. You better know your enemy. You better know where it's at. That's the flesh. You better know where it's coming from and how it's going to attack if you're going to be able to stand. You've got another enemy. That's Satan. You can't play with Satan. I'm going to go ahead and tell you now. Don't think you can. Don't think you can play with Satan. Satan's not a plaything. It's not a toy. This weakness in this flesh, whatever it may be in you, because there is a weakness in the flesh, for the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, he said, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin. It didn't say sins. It said the sin, which does so easily beset us, looking unto the author and finisher of our faith. There's a weakness in your flesh, and Satan knows what that weakness is, and don't you think he don't? And you better know your enemy. You better know your enemy, and that is Satan. Let's look at what the Bible says about Satan. Let's go to the book of John in chapter 10. Begin with verse 10, and this is Jesus speaking, and he said, the thief. Now right off the bat, he called Satan a thief. He said, the thief cometh not, but for to steal. That's what a thief does. To kill. Now he's calling him a murderer. And to destroy. He's calling him a destroyer. Listen to what your enemy will do. He'll steal. You don't think he'll steal your joy? What did David say in the book of Psalms? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Because I've done wrong, because I've let sin come in. Kill to destroy. Jesus said, what? I am come that you might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now some people look at that right there with an abundant life, talking about abundant life in this old world. I believe that the Lord wants His children to prosper. Now I don't believe any other way. But I don't believe that the Lord meant for you to have the kind of riches in this world that would hold you down, that would be a weight that would hold you down. Because if He believed that, if He wanted that for you, He would not have said what He did. He said, lay your treasures up in heaven, for where your treasures are, there will your heart be also. You need to put your treasures where your heart needs to be, and that's on things above and not the things of this world, because this world is going to pass away. We don't have anything in this world except what the Lord has loaned us and given us. Now, there's nothing wrong with taking what the Lord has given us and taking care of it. I'm not saying that. We need to be good stewards of whatever the Lord has given us, but we have to remember we don't have a thing. He's blessed us. Lord, have mercy. He's blessed us. You know, as a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something. I forgot about the God in heaven, forgive me. See, the good Lord told me a couple of weeks ago, like I said, I hadn't been blessed to stand in a long time and teach a Sunday school class, and the Lord kept pointing this little podium. Not the pulpit, but the little podium. He said, Lee, I want you at the pulpit, I want you at the podium. Now, I was hoping that the Lord was going to let me stand one more time. I'm like Samson was there. You know, he said, when they brought him out from the prison to make sport of him, said, look what our God has given us, who was no God. And Samson had some time to think about where he was at. He told that lad that was leading, he said, take me to the pillars of the temple. One that's holding this thing up said, take me on over there, boy. He carried him over there, and Samson leaned up against the pillar, and he felt. Couldn't see him, because the world took his eyes from him. But he fell to them pillars, and what did he say? He said, Lord, remember me. Remember me, and strengthen me just this once. Now, he didn't rely on his strength. He said, but strengthen me just this once. He knew where he was at. And I know where I'm at. And this is holy ground. This church has been set aside for the honor and glory of God and for no other reason to worship and praise Him. So get the shoes off your feet, Lee. Lord, forgive me that I forgot to do that. But the Lord knows I'm nothing but just a pile of clay. Jesus said here, He said, I'm come that you might have more life more abundantly. He said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. Now here we go. He's called Satan a wolf. He wants you to know what your enemy is. Peter said he's a lion. He said be vigilant. He's talking to the church. Be vigilant, be sober, be on guard. Be on guard. Why? Because you're a soldier, you're in war. Be on guard, be looking for your enemy. He's going to attack. You better know when, how, where, what he's going to do. Jesus said he's a wolf. What did he say he's doing? He said the wolf's coming after the sheep. Who's the sheep? That's us. That's us. He said the wolf catcheth them and scatters them. Scatters them. Now what's a wolf going to do? He's not going after the whole flock. He's going to pick out that one that's weak. Oh yes, that I'm knocking you down. I'm weakening you with these temptations and stuff that I'm putting to you. I'm weakening you. I'm going to single you out. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. And what does he do? He scatters them. He separates them from the flock. Now look around you. There's places in church where people normally sit. When you come to church on Sunday, if you don't see that person out Sunday, maybe they've gone on a trip. But if you go back the next Sunday, they're not there, you need to call them. Say, I miss you. What's wrong? Is something wrong? Something I can do for you? Can I talk to you? Can I encourage you? Can I pray for you? What's wrong? Because the devil, like this wolf, is scaring them out. He wants to get them away from the flock. He wants to get them away from the fold. Because what's going to happen then, once he gets them away from the fold, he just shakes them like a rag doll and tears them apart. But now I'll tell you something. I want you to listen to me. These descriptions that Jesus has given, the description that Peter has given, Satan's not going to come in that form. He's not going to come that way. Let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians. Paul writing here to the church at Corinth, which was a carnal church. In chapter 11, beginning with verse 3 of 2 Corinthians, Paul speaking here, he said, I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Paul said, I'm afraid lest it by any means the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Now I want you to listen to something right there. If you look at where subtle up, you're going to find out that it's a craftiness and artful. So what does that tell me? That tells me that Satan is a crafty artist. Now don't you think for a bit that Satan won't paint a beautiful picture, and he's not going to come in like a lion. He's not going to come in like a wolf. He didn't come in this way on Eve. He came into the garden as a serpent. The Bible says the serpent was the most beautiful creature that there was, and he just slid in. What did he tell Eve? He said, Eve, look at that big old tree over here. He said, that's a pretty tree, ain't it? He said, but as pretty as that tree is, it does nothing compared to the fruit that's on it. And what was Eve doing? Eve was looking the whole time. She was looking the whole time. You don't believe the devil gets you to looking? Think about it. Think about it. What was David doing on a rooftop? He was looking. He was looking. And that's the way Satan does. Look at that fruit, Eve. It's beautiful. Take a bite of it. Can't do it, but she's still looking. Because God said today we eat that fruit, we're going to die. And Satan did what? He took a lie, because he's a liar and the father of liars, and he mixed a little bit of truth with it. And he says, what? He said, you can take this fruit and eat it, and you're not going to die, but you're going to be like God. And what happened? The next thing you know, Eve's eaten and given it to Adam. He has slid in. He has slid in. Paul said in verse 4, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if we receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might bear well with him. Going to verse 13, he's talking about Satan. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now listen to the church. Do you not think that Satan wants to get his toe in the church? He's not going to be like a roaring lion. If somebody come in here and told us, said, listen, there's a lion out there at the front door and he's a scratching on it, ain't no one of y'all going to go out the door. I know I ain't. Now I know I'm not. Jane might send me out the side door to pick the car up and get her. But I'm not going out the front one. And Satan's not going to act that way either. He's going to slide his toe in the church door and stick his head in. He said, let me in. Let me in. You pushing on the door. I'm not going to cause you any trouble. Just let me in for a little while. Just let me in for a little while. I'm going to show you a different way. Paul said there'd been another Jesus priest, been another spirit. You don't believe he'll get his toe in the door? You better look around you today. You better look around you today at what he's doing and what's going on. Look again at the book of Timothy. Let's look at chapter 4 in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. Simple scripture. We all know what it says here. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall be turned away from their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. And that's what Satan's doing. People don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear the word anymore. The truth will hurt you. The Bible is either one of two things, amen or oh me. If it's an amen, thank the Lord for it. If it's an oh me, get in this altar and ask the Lord to forgive you. That's all he wants you to do anyway. He tells you that. Just ask me to forgive you. I will forgive you. Look in chapter 3, this same scripture. He said in the last times it tells about what men's going to be like. He's the belovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You want to see this? Turn the news on. The people that's in government who's supposed to be concerned with you, they're not concerned with you, only themselves. How much can I benefit myself? How much can I benefit myself? It doesn't matter about my morals. I want to get what I can get. That's all that matters. Incontinent. Uncontrolled. No self-control. No morals. But this is what bothers me worse than anything. Listen right here. Now listen to what it says. He said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. That's talking about going to church. And there's no God in the church. No power. No strength. It's to get together and talk about things. It's like a social club. Let's come together and make a social club. Let's just get together and be a part. Let's love everybody and everything. It don't make no difference. Tote it in. But Jesus said to be separate, to be different. And not different within ourselves, but to be a vessel to allow Him to make a difference through us. Through us. Now I've told you that you was a soldier in the army of God. I've had a little while and I've got to get on along with this. That you were a soldier, you better know your enemy. Know this old flesh. Lord have mercy, one of these days I'm going to lay this stuff down. And the troubles and this bothered me all these years. And the things that I've done. Like the prodigal son told my father, I ain't got no business being your son. He just make me as a field hand. But just let me come home. Just let me be home. Just let me stay home. Because your goodness is better than anything this world has got. Samson said, I don't care about living. I don't care about living. He said, just strengthen me one more time. Let me see you one more time. Let me feel the power through this old body of mine one more time, Father. And I'll push the temples of this fake God down on the enemy. So let me just tell you this. You've got an endless arsenal. An endless arsenal and that's in Jesus Christ. You go into the service, they ain't going to get you in there and tell you, now you need to go down here to the gun shop and buy you a gun. Go to the Army Navy store and see if you can find a steel pot. If you can't find one there, run to Walmart and get you a double Dutch oven and cover that big head of yours. It's not going to be that way. The Lord's not going to send you out into war without what you need. He's going to give you what you need. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, I believe it was verse 16, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of God, of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of salvation." Now when he said power there, he didn't talk about that in just a light and a loose way. Listen, there's all power. All power is in his hand. All power is given into him in heaven and in earth. Nowhere that you can go that he's not going to be with you. What did he say? He said, "I won't ever leave you nor forsake you, but I'll go with you always in to the end of the world. When you're down, I'll pick you up. When you're sick, I'll put my hands on you. When you're alone, you've got a friend that'll never leave." Never leave. So stand your warfare, fight your enemy, put your faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord knows, I thank you and I thank my Father above for one more time. One more time.